Welcome, my name is Diane Seamus, and I'd like to speak to the power of coalition. I'm from United Progressives for Democracy, which was formed at the Progressive Dialogue meeting, which was called by the Independent Progressive Politics Network a month after the election. And invoking the words of Joe Hill and the spirit of Dr. King, don't mourn, organize. The election results were a crushing blow, but we got together a month after the election, the Green Party, the Progressive Democrats of America, grassroots organizations organizing against homelessness in Florida, against coal mines in Kentucky, young people's organizations. We have the Hip Hop Caucus, the League of Pissed Off Voters, linking with veteran civil rights activists from SNCC, who all got together and said, where are we now? We are standing on common ground. Where are we going to move? We're going to move forward, and we're going to do it by working together in an alliance. And from that, the Winter Democracy Campaign was launched. And in doing so, and I have to really thank all of the members of the Progressive Democrats of America, because it was this organization that was a key player, along with the Green Party, that the Green Party started the investigation, started the campaign, and the Progressive Democrats ran with it. And I'd like to think that our meeting, bringing all these groups together, served to provide an example of what can be done. It can be done on the issue of voter disenfranchisement and electoral fraud. We can also work together to combat the agenda of the right wing. I look at United Progressives for Democracy and our just being here together as the antidote to the Christian coalition. We have the makings of a progressive coalition, and it can begin today, it can begin this weekend. We've already seen the power of the inside-outside strategy. What do I mean? I mean we keep the heat in the streets and the power on the inside, because there are people inside who will respond to that sort of pressure. So I applaud all your efforts, all your energies, and I look forward to working with you in the future. We're soliciting member organizations. There are flyers outside, and anyone is more than welcome to email or talk to me about this effort. But thank you for everything that you've done, and we look forward to the future.
As we said, the outside and the inside, when PDA first went to Washington to ask for allies on the Hill, there was one congressional member who stood out more than any other. And we all know who that person is. And I want to just publicly thank John Conyers for his letter to the GAO and for all the work that he did. Weather permitting, John Conyers will be with us on Sunday. But if I could please ask a number of people that you don't know that you should know who stood with PDA when nobody else would on the Hill. When we went to the staff and said, we need a hearing, and there were only one staff office that listened to us. The one person we first met with who's not here tonight, he'll be with us later tonight, but I want to publicly thank him and put him on the record, because he's truly become a very close friend, and a friend not only to me personally, but to PDA, and that's Joe Siegel. He's not here, he'll be here later tonight. Let him hear your sounds. He's on the Hill right now, Joe Siegel. The two members that we met with in the Judiciary Committee were Ted and Keenan, and I want them to come up, and I want you to recognize them. They're the ones on the Hill that made the difference, that got the hearing, that got the votes for us. Please welcome Ted and Keenan from the House Judiciary Committee.
First, I just have to say it seems to be exactly backwards to me that you all are thanking us. We should be thanking you. There's nothing that would have happened with this without the efforts of progressive Democrats. It was your actions, it was your emails, it was your calls. That's the reason why there was a challenge to the electors in Ohio, and it's us who owe you thanks. So I want to say thank you to you. I've worked on Capitol Hill for almost 10 years now, and this, from the outset, seemed to me to be one of the most uphill struggles I've ever been involved in. At the beginning, the mainstream media said we were all crazy conspiracy theorists. Everyone was telling us, even within the Democratic Party, to move on and to be good sports. And we were saying, wait a second, there are a lot of people who went to a tremendous amount of effort to vote and to get out the vote, and we deserve to give, they deserve for us to give them that same effort in making sure their vote counts. And I think what happened with the Ohio Challenge is a model for what should be happening in the future. I think that it's the concept of actions. It's the concept of holding everybody, Democrats and Republicans, accountable that's going to get us through the next 4 years, which are going to be very, very difficult. You all call it actions. I'm also from North Carolina, and where I'm from, we call it raising hell. And I want you all to keep raising hell. Now, I don't know how many of you heard the speech yesterday, but I heard a lot of talk about tyranny and democracy abroad, and not a lot of talk about tyranny and democracy here at home. We don't have democracy here at home right now when everyone's vote isn't counted. We've got a president who wants to move on past all the people he disenfranchised in Ohio and around the country. We have a president who, in the midst of a disastrous war in Iraq, is talking about going to war in other places. We have a president who wants to dismantle the greatest achievement of the Democratic Party, Social Security. We have a president who wants to appoint anti-choice, anti-civil rights justices to the Supreme Court. And I think it's the time to remake the Democratic Party from the inside to fight these battles. And you all are going to do it. And very quickly, the last thing I want to say, some of you know a week ago I had, my wife and I had our first baby girl. And I've been spending a lot of time around the house, and in between feedings and diaper changes, I've been renting a few movies, and I finally got my wife to watch a movie I hadn't seen in about 15 years, Gandhi. And at the end of the movie Gandhi, there's a quote that I think is very powerful for the times that we live in. He said, "When I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love has always won. There have always been tyrants and murderers, and for a time they seem invincible, but in the end, they always fall." Think of it. Always. Yeah. Keep raising hell.
Very quickly, Ted, I think, took it right to the point with respect to what's going on in the past election. But one of the things that I think we need to focus on also is how we take back America in the context of taking back our party. When people come to Washington and they come to Capitol Hill, many times they're looking to see where we think the answer lies. What should we do? How are we going to make this happen? When we had a meeting very early on this year, actually at the end of last year, the thing that I said we needed to focus on was this. If you look and see what the Republicans have done, they've actually taken their grassroots and they've exported it here to Washington. So I want to congratulate all of you for coming here to Washington today. But more than that, we want to see you month after month, issue after issue. You hold in your hands the ability to take back the Democratic Party, to take back the House, to take back the Senate, and to ultimately take back the White House. You have the answers in your community. You are in touch with your people and your issues. And I thank you for coming, and I want you to maintain an open line of communication to us, to Mr. Conyers, and to other members like Mr. Conyers. Because it's our ability to reach into the hearts and minds of all of our members and say to them, no, you should not let Republican leadership stand up and stand in the way of passing meaningful hate crimes legislation. Ted talked to you about the tyranny of the majority. We're talking about, in a range of issues, we have a tyranny of the minority. On that issue, for the past 4 years, a majority of members in the House and in the Senate have passed and have voted in favor of meaningful hate crimes legislation. We can have the same thing that will go on with election legislation. We can have the same thing that will go on across a range of issues. So all of you have the ability in your hands to reach your local city councils, to reach your local boards of education, your county councils, and send all of these issues up from your cities, your counties, your states, here in Washington, and that's how we will make a change. Thank you all for being here. You actually provide the lift that we need to keep us going, and it's the ability to see your faces gives us the ability to do what we do in Congress. So again, thank you very much.
Keenan and Ted, we want to introduce a couple of our allies inside the party. As many of you know, while we were fighting in Ohio, and we've been doing a lot of work on the occupation, the war in Iraq, there's another struggle going on inside the Democratic Party, and I'd like to bring up three of the allies that are working with Progressive Democrats for America so you can meet some of them. On election night, when John Kerry was surrendering the fight in Ohio and across this country on election night, many of us in this room, with the leadership of Pam Paul and many folks, got involved in a draft campaign for a gentleman that some of you might remember who ran for president named Howard Dean. PDA put out a paper to endorse Howard Dean that was written by Steve Cobble, our policy administrator there in the back. I want to recognize Steve and thank him for that. As a result of that effort, PDA has been at the forefront of the Draft Dean movement, which is now a full-fledged campaign. And now we have the DLC on the run. So I want to introduce to you the campaign manager for the Southern Region, a fellow Rainbow Coalition ally, somebody that was there in 84 and 88 with us. That's Craig Kirby, and also Jim Clark from Americans for Democratic Action, and Bob Fairtech from Democrats.com. Three fights that we're all a part of, and we want to welcome them to come up. This is part of our Inside the Party strategy.
Wow, let me just say woo and wow again. Tim, PDA, thank you so much. Thank you. Give yourself a hand. All right? Tim said I have 3 minutes, so I'm going to take 2 minutes and 50 seconds. But let me say I am with Howard Dean, and Howard Dean will be the next chair of the Democratic Party. You know, we were talking about yesterday being such a bad day and everything. Well, you know what? Yesterday is just that. It's yesterday. And that's right. And I remember being with Reverend Jackson back in 1984 and 85 as we were building the Rainbow Coalition. And I remember him saying, you cannot walk forward looking backwards. You know, being with Steve Cobble and Greg Moore and A.C. Byrd, we did not look backwards. We looked forward. And what I want to say is that where we are right now literally is like the third leg of what we started with the Rainbow Coalition back in the mid-80s. If you think about it, the Rainbow Coalition and the Christian Coalition started at the same time. The Rainbow Coalition started or was built on a very, very strong personality, which got weaker as time went on. The Christian Coalition was built on model, structure, and organization. That's you right now. All right? We may have not won the first round, but we're going to win the game. We're going to win the championship, and we're going to do it all together. So what we learned back in the mid-80s and what we learned in the early 90s is what we're going to take out here to this party. And as I shared with Governor Dean, we are not Republican light. We're Democrats. And what I mean by that is that I'm a firm believer in the vegetable soup theory. And in vegetable soup, you've got carrots, you've got peas, you've got tomatoes, you've got okra, you've got all kinds of things. But no matter how hot that soup gets, none of those pieces of vegetable gets lost. Their identities only get enhanced. So what we've got to do is take this movement and maintain that vegetable soup so that we can win, and more importantly, we can take back our party and our country. Thank you, and I wish you the best of luck this weekend.
I'm Bob Furtick from Democrats.com, and I just want to thank Tim and the group that's put this together. This is an amazing group that we have here, and I can feel the energy, and I know we're going to go someplace with this, and we got only one place to go, and that's up. So let's do it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jim Clark, and I am proud to be a liberal Democrat. And I know I'm in some good company here. You know, as an unabashed liberal, I want to welcome you all to the beginning of the end of the George W. Bush presidency. And I also want to welcome Progressive Democrats of America to the progressive community. Tim asked me to come and talk a little bit about Americans for Democratic Action. You know, it was in 1676 that Sir Isaac Newton wrote to a fellow scientist and said to him, he said, "If I have seen further, it is because I stand on the shoulders of giants." As you launch your efforts here today in what you're doing, realize that all of us are standing on the shoulders of giants. One of those giants has been and continues to be Americans for Democratic Action. It was founded in 1947 by some very strong giants themselves: Eleanor Roosevelt, Hubert Humphrey, Walter Reuther, John Kenneth Galbraith, who still in his 90s speaks out on issues. And they continue to criticize what's going on in this administration. ADA was formed at a time when President Roosevelt had just died, World War II had ended, and there was a fear that this country was going to lurch strongly to the right. McCarthyism was on the horizon, and the New Deal programs that had been implemented just the decade before were under threat. ADA became not only a barricade against repressive action, but it became an advocate for progressivism. It was ADA who forced the Democratic Party in 1948, for the first time ever, to include a civil rights plank in its platform. And those of you that just followed the commemoration of Martin Luther King, there was a release of some of the tapes from JFK's library in which the president is lamenting over the condition of Negroes in Birmingham, Alabama, due to the treatment by local authorities. And it was ADA members in that meeting who were cajoling the president that he needed to do more. It's not just civil rights, but also human rights and economic justice and international peace, which have been a cornerstone for ADA. You know, I often hear the term, people say, don't agonize, organize. And that's a good beginning, but there's more to that. Besides organizing, we must lead to action. And that, it's not just enough for us to be able to lament, meet here and lament over what happened in this past election and the lost opportunities. Nor is it enough to say, we've built a large membership database and we're now going to be the largest and newest progressive organization in the country. There must also be an action component to what it is that you do. And that's what the name Americans for Democratic Action, that's what we've stood for. We have over 30,000 members who work through state and local chapters to try to influence the outcome and decision-making of state, local, and federal officials. And when I talk about action, I'm talking about sustained, constant, and offensive action. We are not Americans for defensive action. And neither should this organization be that as well. You need to take the offensive. It was Texas populist Jim Hightower who's mentioned the fact that the only thing you find in the middle of the road are yellow lines and dead armadillos. Truth be told, there is no middle of the road. The middle of the road is defined by the left side and the right side of the road. And if we cede the left side of the road, then the middle of the road shifts dramatically to the right. That's what's happened in this country, and it's time for us to reclaim what it means to be a progressive. In yesterday's inauguration, President Bush pledged to protect and defend the Constitution. But for most of his 17-minute speech, where he talked about freedom, democracy, and liberty to the rest of the world, unfortunately, the Constitution, this document, doesn't say what the president is supposed to do for the rest of the world. It says what he is supposed to do to discuss his responsibilities to the American people, to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. And that is the task that is before us for the next 4 years. It's not enough just to say that 45 million Americans lack health insurance, or that we have gone from a budget surplus to the largest deficit in history, or that 1 in 4 children continue to live in poverty, or that 1/3 of all African-American males between the age of 16 and 33 will be incarcerated, or that we have a record number of small businesses and personal bankruptcies, or that this administration has created fewer jobs than any administration since the Great Depression, or that we're less secure today and more hated in the world than any time before 9/11. We must be prepared to provide constructive alternatives to the privatization of Social Security, the desire to cut taxes further as a method of starving this government and social programs, the sellout of our health care programs to the pharmaceutical companies, the continued exportation of American jobs in the name of global economy, and the exploitation of politically charged issues like gay marriage, abortion, affirmative action, flag burning, and separation of church and state as a diversion. To do so, we need everyone's good counsel, and we need to work together in a proactive and coordinated approach. So I congratulate you and ask you to join with Americans for Democratic Action as part of your other activities, too. And if you'd like to find out more about what ADA stands for and who we are, please visit our website, www.adaction.org. I thank you for listening to us.
We wanted to make sure this weekend, not only do we organize, but we also want to make sure that we have fun this weekend as well. So we're going to bring up one of our founding board members who stood with PDA at Roxbury with us, who did our first major fundraiser for us in Los Angeles that allowed us to put today's conference together, who's going to introduce a special guest for you to talk to you about what we're going to be up to on Saturday night. So please welcome Mimi Kennedy.
Thank you. Welcome. This is just where I want to be. I flew in last night, and I felt so sad flying into Washington and seeing the Capitol Dome, and I usually feel the sense of ownership of it, and it's my country, and boy, I was almost in tears. And then I had to get on the blue line and go through Pentagon City and the Pentagon. And I did notice a total absence of advertising, except for the Homeland Security Department. And is this your bag? You're supposed to ask people if they leave bags behind. And then I got up, and the only movie being advertised was The Last Days of Pompeii. And it asked questions like, how do you hide from an angry mountain? How do you breathe when the air is on fire? So I was really happy to come here. This is the most joyful place in Washington, and I'm really glad to be here. Follow the money is the basis of all political intelligence, I think. And I want to talk to you about the money of these guys. I know it's all done on a wing and a prayer and a nickel and a dime, and I'm glad to see this fine banner and wondering how much did that cost at Kinko's and can we cover it? I did a fundraiser in Los Angeles, and I told Tim I could get him $60,000. But before I could get to the big donors, Progressive Majority did, so I had to split it. We did make exactly $60,000, but $30,000 was what came to PDA. As you know, we're a face-to-face organization. That means people are using their computers, using their cell phones, and flying around on really cheap airline tickets. That's all we need the money for, but we need the money for that. So I want to do another big fundraiser, but in the meantime, we really do need the sustainer thing, which is, we'll look on this, you know, $25, $30 a month, something like that. And if we can get $630 sustainers, we will be able to keep on coming to Capitol Hill, as the staffers has asked us to do, and we'll be able to talk to each other, and we won't have these worries about where is it going to come from. Tim said he was counting out pennies on restaurant counters with Kevin Spidell while they were doing the Judiciary Committee organizing. So they're not wasting your money. Tomorrow night we have a great concert, and I'm going to ask David D. From KPFA in the Bay Area to come and talk about that. But we need to all buy your tickets and support us that way too. And that way we'll pay for this weekend. The concert's our fundraiser for this weekend. See you Saturday night, tomorrow. David D.
First of all, how y'all doing? Y'all doing all right? I'm also recording because we do a show every afternoon, so I want to make sure we got good tape. But I was asked also to give a little bit of relevancy about the area of expertise that I've been involved with since '77, which is hip-hop culture.